I would like to introduce a wonderful, amazing man of God to you. And we are so privileged to have Colin with us this morning. And those of you, those of you who don't know Colin, I think everyone knows Colin here, yes? If you don't, Colin leads, he's the leader in the Maidenhead Church. And he's also a missionary, and recently he took over the role of overseeing all the river churches, all the four river churches, and he's a mighty man of God, and you know, he loves God, and he's full of God's love, and so it's really, really a wonderful thing to have him here with us, and give him another big hand, a big welcome.
Yeah, thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Yeah, I just want to start off by praying and just asking the Spirit to be with us in the next half hour or so. This on Pentecost Day. Father, we rejoice that we live in the age of the Spirit. We rejoice that we live in the age when your Spirit is poured out on all flesh. Do it again, Lord. Do it again. In these days, do it again. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I love the worship this morning. Thank you, Andy. Thank you, Elizabeth. You just needed one more song, you'd have done my preach for me this morning, you know. Oh, Jesus. And I thought, nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible. We sang that. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? Nothing is impossible. I just want to start off with that ringing in our ears. Because when we gather together on a Sunday morning, that is important for us to remind each other. Because we can forget that when we look at our lives, when we work through Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. We can forget sometimes because things don't seem to change fast enough for us. We can forget sometimes that nothing is impossible. And I want us to live in that, to live in the knowledge of that, to live each moment in the reality of that and to know that nothing is impossible. Because you think differently when you know that. And when you think differently, you behave differently. And you pray differently. I loved praying with Vicky a minute ago. And she prayed differently because she believes that nothing is impossible. And then we sang, "Your love never fails." You know, I was speaking to someone before church and just talking about the last time I was here. And they were saying, I mentioned them in the preach. And I said, "Hey, what was I preaching on again? I can't." And they said, "Oh, I can't remember." I thought, great. it's a sad thing for, it's a beloved. Yeah, I probably did do the beloved one, didn't I? Well done.
It had grace in there somewhere.
Well, I let him into a little secret. I said that, yeah. He said, "Did it have something to do with love?" And I said, "You probably did, because I only preach one message, and it's I always preach on love, really, these days." And so to sing that those words, "Your love never fails," your love never fails. Again, we can forget that sometimes. Sometimes in the ordinariness of life, in the setbacks, in the knockbacks, in the letdowns, in the disappointments, we can forget sometimes that His love never fails. We need to hang on to that. We need to hang on to that. Love is the most potent force in the universe. It never, ever fails. I just want you to think about that just for a second. Allow the Spirit just to minister to you in an area of your heart where you need to know right now that love has the breakthrough power. But nothing is impossible for love, because love never fails. Just between you and the Father, where is it that you need to know that right now? Jesus. Yeah. And if we'd have sang No More Eagles in the Chicken Coop, you know, it's on the song list. I know you were playing it before the start of the meeting, and I was getting excited. And if you'd have played that one as well, that would have been my sermon complete then. Oh, okay, we can sing it after. Fantastic. It'd be a great way to end, actually. It'd be a superb way to end. You know, if someone would have told me, right, a few years ago, that one of the most powerful worship lines I could experience in this season would be No More Eagles in the Chicken Coop, I would have thought they were a bit strange. I would have thought they'd have lost their marbles. I would have thought that probably they were way off. Way off. Because, what does that mean? No More Eagles in the Chicken Coop. Are we trying to protect the chickens from these birds of prey that somehow work their way in to steal our eggs and chicken? No, that's not what we're talking about, is it? It's just that, again, in the ordinariness of life, in the daily grind, as some people refer to it, in the living out in our homes with one another, when we go to work, with our neighbours, with the financial difficulties, with the relational issues that we face, with all these things, with the health issues. We somehow accept limits that God has not set for us. We somehow accept a kind of barrier that we can't break through. We somehow live in a more limited space, a contained space, a chicken coop, if you will. And we're eagles. We are eagles. Every single one of you seated in front of me today are eagles. We are eagles. Hallelujah. And the Spirit is constantly calling us to the breathtaking heights. Can you hear Him? You know that, don't you? You know it. Deep in your heart, you know you are meant for greater things. You know it. You were born for better things. Something inside you is calling you to a higher place. Breathtaking heights. The Bible says we're seated with Christ in heavenly places, far above all rule, power, and dominion. Far above. That's our rightful place. The highest place. We feel that calling. Somehow we feel it. And yet, we accept that kind of limit of our lives too easily. We accept where we find ourselves. We accept our past experiences. We accept the chicken coop. And this morning, I want to preach on the fact that love is freeing. Love is free. Love sets us free. I'm not talking about free love. If I was preaching 40 years ago, I might have preached on free love. It's before I was saved, I would have preached on free love. Well, love is free, but it costs everything. But also, I want to talk about the fact that love is really freeing. You know, Richard Dawkins, bless him, he thinks that Christianity, that following Jesus, is a binding thing. It's a constricting thing. It's a thing that's designed to brainwash us, to really constrain us. I have a lot of sympathy with him. Yeah. I have a lot of sympathy with him because he sees some things in the church which are wrong. And he focuses on those. And I could do the same. If I focused on the nasty, ugly side of church. Okay, I could do the same. I could get bitter and I could say, church is disgusting, church is horrible, we should get rid of it, we should free all these Christians from this terrible disease called Christianity. You see, he focuses on Christians that, well, I call ugly Christians. Christians whom you know, they stand up and they rant. Christians who are always telling people what to do. Christians who are telling you what they're against, what they hate, and they're quite vocal about it, and their faces are quite contorted about it when they speak about it passionately. But they're ugly. They're ugly. And I know he gets wound up by bad science when Christians desperate to prove that the Bible is literal and try and make the earth only 4,000 or 6,000 years old, and they come up with all kinds of bad science. He hates all of that. And I hate all of that. Yeah. That winds me up terribly. Because all it does is put people off from the God who is love.
Yeah. That's right.
That's all it does. It does no good whatsoever. It doesn't help. I know that people mean well, but they're just not doing good. They are damaging. Now, he'd say we were brainwashing our kids, bringing them up in the Christian faith. I love Gerald Coates when he was on radio. He said he was accused of the same thing. And he said, the truth is that we all wash our brains in something. I'd just rather be washing my brains in Jesus than anything else. But I want to say this morning that when we encourage people to follow Jesus, we're not removing their freedom. When we train our kids to follow Jesus, we're not removing their freedom. Actually, we are doing the reverse. We are promoting their freedom. We are setting them free. Turn to John chapter 8, just for a minute. Oh, and I keep this in my Bible. It's what Rachel did when she was 7 years old. It's a little business card, okay? And it says, Rachel Eden Barnes, young missionary. Spelled M-I-T-I-O-N-A-R-Y. Missionary. Fantastic. Yeah, very good attempt. She's even got her email address on it. Everything. Young missionary. Hallelujah. That's my 11-year-old daughter now, by the way. Sorry. Those who don't know me. I'm going to read from verse 31 of chapter 8, just for a couple of verses. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, "If you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." Amen. Hallelujah. The truth will make you free. The world is always trying to remove our freedoms. I don't know if you notice this, but it's true. The world is always trying to remove our freedoms. God is passionate. Our Father in heaven is passionate at declaring over us that we are free, that we have choices. He's always affirming our freedom. Now, first of all, I just want to acknowledge that none of us are totally free. Okay, we're not free to do whatever we like. I mean, I might like to fly off the roof of my house. I did it once in a dream. The most amazing dream ever, a flying dream.
Yeah,
I really didn't want to wake up. When I woke up, I tried to go back to sleep. I don't do that very often, but a flying dream will do that to you. But, you know, my body has limitations. I'm not free to do that. The laws of gravity will prevail. We're also, to a certain extent, bound by our families, by our culture. Just to give you an example, my freedoms, okay, are very different from the freedoms of my friends in Nepal, who I lived amongst for a year. They're just as free as me, but their freedoms are different. Their options are different. They don't have the same choices that I have. Just because of the place where they're born, the family they're born into.
Yeah.
That's true for all of us. We're all affected by our families, to a certain extent. Some healthy, some not so healthy, but we're all affected. A little bit. Mm. But what are the world's restrictions? I'm just going to mention a couple this morning. A lot of them are brought about by believing lies. That's why Jesus says, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Because a lot of our restrictions that the world tries to place on us come about through wrong thinking. We've just taken on board lies, because they're generally believed to be true, but they're not. An example that we're bound by our feelings and emotions. You know, some people say, for example, I had one man come up to me and tell me a few years ago that he couldn't forgive his ex-wife. I was talking about forgiveness and the importance of it. If we don't forgive, then God can't forgive us. That's what Jesus said, not what I said. And he said, that's all right for you, but I can't forgive my ex-wife. We went through a very bitter divorce. They argued for years. They could never talk for about 8 years. And they'd been apart for a couple of years and divorced for a couple of years. And actually, he could not forgive her. And I said to him, look, you believe a lie. I said, you believe a lie, because actually, forgiveness is not a feeling. I'm not asking you to feel like you forgive your wife. I'm asking you for an act of your will. I'm asking you to decide that you're going to forgive your wife. And then what you'll find is your feelings will follow your act of will. He said, no, it doesn't work that way. Okay, fine. You just do what you want. The next week, I saw him again. And he's beaming from ear to ear. He said, it works! I said, what do you mean? He said, I tried it! I wrote a letter to my ex-wife. And in that letter, I wrote that I forgave her for all the things that she did. Or I listed all the things that I was holding in my heart that I was really angry with her for. I listed them and I forgave you. I said, I forgive you. I asked her to forgive me. And she called me. And we spoke. And we chatted. And we laughed for the first time in 8 years. She said, it works. It does work. But we believe the lie. That if we feel it, it must be true. Therefore, I must behave according to the feeling. But our feelings are not to dictate to us. That's why people say, oh, I've fallen out of love. What can I do? Eh? I've fallen in love with this other person. What can I do? I've just got to follow my heart. No. We don't follow our feelings. We're never meant to follow our feelings. We're meant to control our feelings. Because the truth is, when we do loving things for one another, when Tom loves his wife in action, in words, what happens is the feelings come. That's just true. If you stop doing the loving things for one another in the home, love will disappear. And you will fall in love with someone else. That's not some mystical fate directing you to abandon your partner and go and shack up with someone else. That's you not making the right choices, the right decisions. It's us when we do that. And our emotions follow our choices, little by little. And we wonder where the love has gone. And you hear it again and again and again as a good excuse why people should divorce or separate. Again and again and again, we just don't love each other anymore. I'm sorry, that is not just how it happens. It's an act of your will. Don't believe me. Try it. Try it. You do loving things for someone, you'll end up loving them. Be careful who you do loving things for. Be careful. I mean, you should do loving things for everyone. But if you do a lot of loving things for someone, you're going to end up with a lot of love for them. Okay? It's just the way it is. Another friend, who before he became a Christian, he was problem with anger. He used to lie on his bed and thump his fists and scream when someone parked outside his house. That's serious anger. Serious anger. But when he became a Christian, when he started to follow Jesus, he learned to control that anger. He didn't just say, oh, that's me, I have an anger problem. He learned to walk out of it. The truth is, our actions determine our emotions and feelings, not the other way around. And when you know that, you are free to choose to live right. You no longer use your feelings as an excuse to do the wrong thing, to mess up your life, to screw up your life and other people's lives. We don't do that because we know, actually, our choices will affect our feelings. It's the other way around. It's really freeing. Really freeing. We're free to forgive. We're free to remain faithful. We're free not to allow dark moods to determine our behavior. Hallelujah. And we break out of that chicken coop. We break out. The world also tells us, you know, tries to tell us, that we're bound by our genes. I've read so many articles in recent years, it worries me. They're looking for genes, you know, in our DNA, that control us. They're looking for genes that control our anger. They're looking for genes that control our weight. They're looking for genes that control our addictions. They're looking for genes for everything, to explain everything. Oh, you're like that. That must be because of your genes. When we believe that, what happens? You can see the chicken wire going over your head. Can you feel it being nailed down? That's you. There's nothing you can do about it. You may look like an eagle, but I'm telling you, you're a chicken. It's true. If we allow ourselves to believe that we're purely the makeup of our genes, we're living in a coop. We're living in a cage. We've removed our choice, our freedom. It makes me want to scream out. It makes me want to scream. You know, the other week we were singing that song in Windsor Gospel Hall. I jumped so high and landed so hard that I broke a floorboard. But it was because I was prophetically declaring over the church, no more eagles in the chicken coop. I'm not having it. Freedom. Freedom! You know, I shouldn't shout into the microphone, but you know, that is what William Wallace shouted over Scotland, wasn't it? But that's what we want to shout over one another. Freedom. Real freedom. Freedom to be who Christ has made us to be. Yeah. Not what our genes tell us we should be. Yeah, there may be some genes that do mean some of us have more of a battle with some things than others. But the Bible says we are overcomers. Yeah. And we can overcome these things in our lives. We don't have to be controlled by them. We don't have to be the victim. Whenever you paint yourself as being controlled by someone else or something else, the chicken wire gets nailed down. You're a victim. It's not your fault. Oh, it's not. And it sounds so loving. It sounds so tender. It's not your fault. It's that other person's fault. You know, it's not your fault. It's your genes. I'm sorry. It sounds so loving, so caring, because you know, we're removing the blame. But in removing the responsibility, we remove the freedom. To change, to break out. It's not loving. It's controlling. You know, it gets worse because then you get the people trying to tell us we're controlled by fate. Astrology. People think that the stars and the moon and the sun determine our futures. Hence we get horoscopes. Or we get karma. That you get what you deserve. There's fate controlling everything, that we get what we deserve. From our past lives, present actions, we're building up a karma, which means we reap what we sow. To a certain extent, that's true, but it's not totally true. Fortune tellers, mediums, clairvoyants, telling us our futures are all determined. You know, I met one young lady who was a fortune teller had told her that she was going to have an affair before she got married. And I said, you do not have to believe that. If there's one shred in you that thinks that might be true, it's a curse. It's another way the world is trying to control you. And God says you're free. You don't have to live under that curse. Change your destiny. Change your future. Shape your future by your choices, by your actions. That's what we're called to do. Even Christians get caught out by this. You know, many Christians think that actually it all is being worked out according to some plan of God's. And that kind of actually removes our responsibility in it all. If we really believe that, we end up thinking that God has planned all our suffering. I won't get into that, otherwise I'll be there all morning. But that God declares we have a choice. At one time, he gathered all of Israel before him with Moses. And he says, "Behold, I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you today. I lay before you a choice." I don't think you can get more emphatic than that. "I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you today, that I give you freedom. I lay before you a choice, life and death, freedom, slavery. I lay before you a choice." Jesus says, "If my word remains in you, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." But he also warns us to be careful with our choices. Look at the next few verses. Because they complain, the religious people around him said, "We're Abraham's descendants. We've never been enslaved by anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" And Jesus says in verse 34, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin." It's true. You see, we start off completely free. We start off with a whole host of choices. A whole host of choices. I was just looking at Charlie earlier on as he was walked in by Kenny. And just love that boy. Beautiful looking boy. And his life is just, there's so much potential when you look at him. Almost anything could happen in that young lad's life. The options are limitless. But day by day, as he makes the choices shape him. Day by day, the choices that we make shape us. So we start off completely free with limitless options, but the more choices we make, kind of the options narrow down a bit. And we end up with fewer and fewer. Because our choices start to make us. And sometimes when we choose to do the same thing again and again and again, it becomes set in us. It's really hard to break then. It's like clay. It's like clay. When clay first is taken out, it's nice and malleable. The potter can do what he likes with it. But after a certain amount of time and it's starting to dry, it's difficult to shape and change it. Let's stay soft. Let's stay soft. Let's not live in the past. Past mistakes. Past hurts. Let's not judge tomorrow by what has happened previously. But let's choose to live in the freedom that we have today. And we can keep soft for as long as possible. Let's not accept the fact, because I got angry 3 or 4 times in the last few weeks, I'm going to get angry in the next week. Let's not accept that. If I got drunk 3 or 4 times, let's say I'm not going to get drunk this week. Actually, I'm free. I can make a choice. Let's keep that clay soft. Because sin binds us up. And some sins it's easy to see, isn't it? Addictions like drugs or alcohol. It's easy to see how when you make the choices, initially it's free, but then it becomes slavery. But the same is true with every other thing. Thought patterns that we all have. Nagging our husbands. We start off with a choice. We do it because we're upset. But after a while, if we do it every day, it becomes who we are. No, I've obviously speaking about me. You're obviously nagging my wife. But no, it's true. These things. You know, I found that out as a young man. At university, I discovered that people like to laugh and they like to sexual innuendo jokes. So I started to just throw in those kind of jokes whenever I could to get people to laugh and people accept me. After a while, I found those jokes coming to my mind in really inappropriate situations. Because I trained myself. My free choice had started to choose me. Scary. Very scary. But Jesus says the truth sets us free. How do we know the truth? Well, Jesus says we test it. It's not we learn it, like a set of rules. Oh, I've got to learn this. Don't do this, do that. Don't do this, do that. It doesn't say just know it, but remain in it.
Yeah.
There's a difference.
Yeah.
What he means is test it. What he means, walk it out. Live it. Try it. Taste and see that the Lord is good.
Yeah.
Don't take my word for it. Don't just believe me because I say it. Actually, just try it. Like that man who tried the forgiveness thing. Just try it and you'll find, actually, it's true. And it sets you free. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Then we discover what real freedom is. We overcome things. We become masters of our own destiny. We take control back of our lives. And how do we live in his word? Well, we can't do it in our own strength, actually. I hope you know that. I've met many people who have tried to live good lives. They know what the do's and don'ts are. They know how they should be. They know how they want to be as a person, the person they feel like they are on the inside. And they attempt to do it in their own strength. I had one guy came to me and said, I want to be a Christian. I want to do the right thing. I want to be good to people. I want to love people. But I try and within half a day I've given up. I just can't do it. I said, of course you can't do it. We need God's help. Turn to Galatians chapter 5. I'm going to read from verse 16 to 24. But I say, walk by the Spirit. Very appropriate for Pentecost Sunday. Walk by the Spirit and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. We need the Holy Spirit's help to really walk in freedom. The flesh will otherwise control us because the flesh is weak. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things you please, the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Hallelujah. First and foremost. Joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. We need the Spirit of God. Our flesh is weak. Knowing something is right is not a strong enough motivation to help us to do it. Or am I the only one that knows that? Many times I've known the right thing to do and not done it. In my own strength, it's so tough. But the power to do the right thing doesn't come from the absence of doing something good. It doesn't come from the absence of doing something wrong. Get that right? The power to do the right thing doesn't come from just not doing the wrong thing. From knowing what's wrong and not doing it. The power to do something good comes from a deep inner motivation to please someone. To please another that we love. That's the real power to do what's good. You know, love, I said it before, love is the most powerful transformational force in the universe. It's love that enables us to lay down our lives and serve others, to do real good. Early on in Galatians chapter 5, it says this. Paul is saying, you know, some of them are being circumcised and they're coming under the law. They're trying to please God by doing the right things. And Paul said, that's useless. And it gets down to verse 6. He said, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything, but faith working through love. That's the thing that motivates us. That's the thing that changes us. That's the only thing that counts, it says in the NIV. The only thing that counts is faith expressed through love. That's the only thing that works. So it's not emptying of ourselves of the things that are wrong. It's not trying to fill ourselves with the rules that are right. It's actually receiving the love. And allowing it to shape us. Amen. And that's what he commands us to do. Love one another. You know, we sang a song earlier, I run to him and I am free. Okay, that's another song that this is in this sermon. I run to him and I am free. And yet the next line is, my heart is captured by his love. It's a paradox. But when our heart is captured by the love of God, we're free to be who we're meant to be. And often you see that in people, in little ways, when they fall in love with one another, don't you? Often you can see them blossom. You can see them start to do the things that you know that they're always capable of. But because they're suddenly experiencing love, suddenly it comes out. They feel free to do it. And when we experience the love of God, the limitless love, the powerful love, we're free to break out and to really reach those breathtaking heights we sing about in that song. And I want to really just leave it there, because that is our message at the end of the day. God is love. He wants us to love him and love one another. And that love sets us free. Sets us free. And this morning, as I was praying about this morning, I really felt the Holy Spirit was saying, it's breakthrough time for some people in Slough today. It's a breakthrough time. I was going to preach on another subject this morning. And this morning when I got up, the Holy Spirit said, today, freedom. I want you to proclaim freedom over folks in Slough. Because there are some people that are going to experience freedom today. They're going to break out of their chicken coops today. Things that have been the way they've been as long as you can remember are going to change today in some of your lives, some of our lives. That's what I heard the Holy Spirit say.
Amen.
Do you believe that? Let yourself now just bow our heads. And let's do some business with the Lord. Because if the Lord has been speaking to you this morning as I've been speaking, then let's do business. Let's ask him to do the impossible in our lives. Let's ask him to remove that chicken coop. There's an area of your heart, or your mind, or your body, or your life, that needs freedom. Maybe from a thought pattern, maybe from a habit you want to break. Maybe from just a way that you always interact with a certain person that you want to change. Or maybe the way you interact with the Lord. Could be that you've allowed that to become limited. Just allow the Holy Spirit to highlight something in your heart. An area that you need freedom in today, that you're saying, I want to receive the freedom today, Lord, to know your freedom. And I want to break it now. Jim Paul last week, that crazy Canadian, he prophesied over me that actually I would bring freedom to people. As I stomp my feet, I would bring freedom. I want to be obedient to that. I will probably stomp in worship when Andy plays that song, but I want to stomp right now. I want to stomp on the things that would bind us, that would limit us. And I want to proclaim freedom in the name of Jesus. So if there's an area of your life you know you want freedom in this morning, I'd ask you to stand right now. Oh Jesus. And I'm going to proclaim freedom in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you say that he who the Son sets free is free indeed. I proclaim freedom. Freedom. Freedom in the name of Jesus. Freedom. Freedom in the name of Jesus. I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you today, says Jesus. Nothing is impossible for me. My love never fails, and I declare today you have a choice. It's a new day. It's not to be lived in the past. It's not to be lived by past experiences. It's not to be shaped by past thoughts or habits. This is a new day, and we proclaim freedom. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 And Holy Spirit, we say that we no longer choose to live in chicken coops. And we spread our wings and we say, take us to those breathtaking heights. We can't get there by ourselves, but we want to walk in tune with you, Holy Spirit. We want to be led by you, Holy Spirit. Lead us. Raise us up on wings like eagles to those breathtaking heights, to dwell with Jesus, to dwell in freedom, to walk in freedom, to walk in love. Amen.